Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Welcome back, 17 Till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks for hanging out with me. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Lots of stuff there that will help you with your small business. Check it out when you get a chance. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter, and don't forget to check out our blog and all the other things that are there. And you take our poll question, too. It's right there on the homepage. And when you click your answer, you'll be able to see how the poll's going so far. Smallbusinessadvocate.com. Having a great visit with our good friend Joel Barker. Joel is a futurist, a world-class futurist, the top in the world. And his new book is called Five Regions of the Future. Your new film is called Innovation at the Verge, right,
yep,
Joel?
Yep.
And give us that website, please.
www.starthrower.com.
Yeah. And also joelbarker.com, too, right?
Yep, they can get to it that way, too.
Yeah. Okay, so we want to look into your snow globe up there, right, for us?
Yeah,
for
I
Joel,
do.
And you got your crystal ball.
Yep.
And what's up first?
Well, you know, we kind of took off this summer, so I have a pile of stuff, but the ones that I pulled out I thought were kind of interesting. The one I'd like to start with is a story about the Buster brothers, Grant and Max. Max is 15, Grant is 17.
Buster.
Buster, B-U-S-T-E-R. They live in Boulder, Colorado, and they have developed a very simple, extremely efficient growing system for people in poverty all over the world that use those cheap 5-gallon buckets.
Yeah.
And if you use them right, they've designed it so they've basically...
5-gallon buckets, you mean like the wide-mouth buckets, like plaster comes in, things like that?
Yeah, exactly. Those 5-gallon ones, right?
With a handle on it, yeah.
Yeah, and they're all over the world, and they're really cheap. And what these kids said, we want to do something about starvation in the world, food. And so they took these buckets and reconfigured them and turned them into growing systems.
Wow.
50 to 80% less water.
They're deep enough. They're deep enough to hold enough water and nutrients and to grow a pretty good sized plant.
Yeah,
you can grow cornstalk in those things.
You can grow several things in there, and that's if they go to the site. We've sent the site to you, so people will be able to look at it. There are pictures of it. They actually shot videotape of talking about how it works and how it goes together.
Globalbuckets.org.
Yes. And just listen to these two numbers. 50 to 80% less water usage to get the same result. 100% reduction in weeds because you put black plastic over the top.
Uh-huh.
It can never form in the first place. No herbicides needed, so it takes that whole cost out of
grown.
The thing. Exactly. Works on a rooftop. And you can collect rainwater, and because it uses so much less water, you can irrigate off the rainwater.
Wow.
Now, this is a 15-year-old and a 17-year-old changing the world.
How about that?
So when people say to me, well, what
star
can
thrower.
I do?
That's a star thrower story.
It is a star thrower story. That's right, Jim. It is. Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah, I love these stories. I tell people all the time, never underestimate the power of a person.
That's right.
The power of a person. We think about... Think about my favorite stories, Joel, are the stories about where one person made a difference.
Yeah.
And that's the whole thing behind your Star Thrower story.
Yes, it is, and that's the essence of
it. And
these
I tell that
boys.
Story all the time, by the way. with attribution, too.
Well, of course. And you know, it is the story. I've literally run into it all over the world.
I was telling it years before I knew you did. It was yours.
Really? Well, I had a couple of people try and say it was theirs, and I did correct them on that.
Yeah, I'm glad you did. Well, good for those guys. Let me give you the website again, folks, globalbuckets.org. Check it out and see if it's something that you know, more and more people are getting back to the earth. We got a lot more and more urban farms, community farms. Our good buddy Jim Ostroff with the Kipling Editors, he's part of a community farm there in D.C.
Well, see, and you think about it, that's exactly what they are prototyping.
Community garden, I should say.
Yes, anybody at any place, whether you're in the developed world or the undeveloped world, can have this kind of access and ease.
Right.
They've really changed the paradigm with this thing.
Yep, absolutely. Yep. And you can do it in your backyard or on your rooftop, as you say.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yep.
What about, there's something in here about phytoplankton. What the heck is phytoplankton?
Phytoplankton are the smallest of the creatures in the, well, I should say that they're actually virus in the ocean's water, but they're the smallest that we can see.
They're not, this is not krill, this is like an algae.
No, this is like an algae kind of thing, single cell, all right? And they're very important because they're the bottom of the food chain.
Yeah.
So So
they're the things that the krill eats, that the whales eat, and the whales eat the krill.
Exactly. Yeah. And everything else in the ocean depends on the phytoplankton.
Right.
Right. And the piece of information that I brought to you is that just very recently, like the end of July, the research has finally been put together, and it turns out that phytoplankton, the total mass in the ocean, has been shrinking about 1% per year, and it's now down. Since 1950, it's down 40%.
Really?
And nobody, why? Not a single scientist suspected this.
Why?
They don't know. That's the big thing. They do not know at this point. They have now identified
what,
the problem.
Do we know what makes phytoplankton happy?
Well, one of the theories is the temperature of the water.
Yeah.
And the ocean has gotten substantially hotter.
Yeah.
Another theory is that it may be the particulates from the tankers going back and forth. You know, they burn the dirtiest oil of anything, and they produce the most particulates of any single human machine.
When I
started
studying environmental biology in college, I did study it.
Cool.
There was a term called the solution to pollution is dilution. Folks, that ship sailed 30 years ago.
That's right.
We can no longer dilute our waste into the environment.
That's right.
The chickens have come home to roost, haven't they?
Yep. So this is there are things that I look at and say, here's a wonderful solution. This is an issue. So this goes on my issue board to say I'm going to be following up on this and watching everything on this.
Well, I'm glad somebody's paying attention to this, because I'll tell you, I saw a report last night. I saw something about fish. And you know, fish is the last great wildlife.
That's right.
And, folks, I love fish. And I love, wild fish, of course. And we have to pay attention to this. These are things that we need to be watching for. And I'm glad somebody's paying attention to it, like our good friend Joel Barker. Tintail, I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us. Welcome back. 7 Till, there's the birds bringing us back. Classic song, great song from Ecclesiastes. I think that's chapter 9, if I'm not mistaken. I'm Jim Blassingame, having a great visit with our good friend Joel Barker. That's joelbarker.com. That's where you can find him. Also, starthrower.com. You can find his book there, Future Edge and Five Regions of the Future. Those are just two of his books. And his film, Innovation at the Verge, which is outstanding. And Joel, your blog is there too, and we thank you for making that available to us. Thank you for bringing these outstanding things to us to remind us or to inform us about what's happening in the future. By the way, folks, my website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Joel, what about this conditional cash transfer topic?
This is something that, you know, we tend to think about our new technologies as products and things and electronics. Really important innovations also are social innovations. And this thing called Conditional Cash Transfer Program, CCT is the abbreviation for it, is spreading throughout the world with great success, because it has the simplest rule. Jim, you will just love this because it is so simple. It says, we will give you food or money, in this case cash, on condition that, and then they have some conditions like that you get your children vaccinated.
Wow.
That your children make it to school. That your children get fed at this point. We'll give you the food, too, but they've got to be fed. And if you do these things, we will give you the money.
Now, is this money that we were going to give them anyway, and we now have conditions on them?
Yeah.
Or is this more money just to do what people ought to be doing anyway?
This is money that is specifically designed to make them behave, to do certain things that are really important.
So if we're already giving a family money because they need it, and now we're going to say, okay, you're going to get the same money, but we now have new rules.
Yes.
Okay, I'm okay with that.
That's what they're doing. And the thing that they said, they've done it in Brazil. I mean, they've done it all over the world. Brazil has had an especially good success with it. They say it works better in the rural areas than the urban areas.
I wonder why.
Because there's more starvation in the urban areas, and so the food payment is a big deal for them, so they really want to make that happen.
So I'm confused. It works better in urban or better in rural?
Better in rural areas because of the, I'll read you from the quote,
okay.
Lack of basics, food, water, primary school, simple health care. since those are harder to get, you need to stimulate the poor to make sure their kids get to that school, because it's not like right around the corner. So, but the point is, it works everywhere.
Interesting.
It works everywhere, and it works across cultures, which I always think is a really important measure. You know, if you've got something that only works in one culture, that's good for that culture, but it's not. It doesn't have the reach. This works across cultures. They're doing it in New York City now.
Interesting. Well,
so,
as long as they're not, you know, one thing you don't want to do is you don't want to have to pay somebody to do what they should have already been doing.
Well, except here's the thing. You and I can say that, coming from the middle class, what they already should have been doing.
Yeah.
That's not their
history. Some people have no background.
Exactly. So this basically says we don't care whether you have a history or not.
Yeah.
We will stimulate you in a very primary way.
And the advocates would say, yeah, Jim, but this is about the children. It's not about the parents.
Well, it's about everyone.
Yeah.
It's about everyone.
Yeah.
Think about it. All of a sudden, the parents actually are doing good for their kids when they couldn't do it before. So I think this is a very smart program.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, a lot of folks don't realize that a young pregnant mother doesn't have any concept, may not have any concept of neonatal care.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. So let's move over to the Beam of Light. Talk to us about that.
Well, Beam of Light. So we go from a wonderful social invention to really hard science and stuff, and that is that there's a new approach to building rocket ships coming out of. Work by Franklin Meade Jr. at the Air Force Research Lab and a physicist from the Institute for Advanced Studies in Austin, Texas, named Eric Davis, where they're basically taking an object that they want to propel into space, hitting the bottom of it with an extremely powerful laser, which causes the air to explosively expand and basically propel the object up into the air.
I've heard about this before.
Yeah, it's on about its fourth or fifth year now, but they're now starting to have success in the sense that they flew it. Now, this sounds funny, but
so the beam of light propels the thing.
Yeah, no fuel.
Yeah, it just keeps hitting it. What is it? What fuels the light, though?
The air. Oh, that's ground based. It's a ground based laser. So you've got yourself a lot of megawatts going.
So
into
is there a distance, a limit?
Well, here's the thing. This is why their breakthrough is so neat. You're basically burning air, right?
Yeah.
The air is pushing down. Well, you get out of the atmosphere. There's no air. So what they've done is they put a coating on the bottom of the ship that then turns into propellant and takes out into orbit.
Hey, Joe.
Thanks for being here. Good job today, as always.
You're welcome.
Great stuff. Joe Barker, ladies and gentlemen, always has some great things for us. We can't do without him. We won't either. He'll be back real soon. I will be too, but not for a while. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.